the headlines this hour. In the U.S., the governor of Michigan warns of a tragedy of historic proportions if leaked oil reaches Lake Michigan. More than 200 are killed and hundreds injured in Pakistan's worst flooding in 100 years. Hamas rejects Arab League conditions for resumption of direct Palestinian-Israeli talks. And smog chokes Moscow as temperatures near 40 degrees Celsius, the hottest in more than 100 years.
It is 6 p.m. in Lansing, Michigan, and 2:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, the U.S. is battling another oil spill while it has yet to deal with the environmental disaster in the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, the new leak in the northern state of Michigan began on Monday. A pipeline in Marshall burst, leading oil to gush into the Kalamazoo River. Now, the Michigan governor is warning of a tragedy of historic proportions if the spill is not contained. Federal officials say the leak in the Kalamazoo River is larger than first estimated. The Environmental Protection Agency has taken control of efforts to contain and clean up the water. It says more than 1 million gallons of crude has leaked into the river so far. Officials say the pipeline belongs to the Canadian company Enbridge. Well, for more on that story, we're now joined by Bill Jones, who's with the Executive Intelligence Review, who joins us on the line from Washington. Mr. Jones, as always, thank you very much for joining our broadcast. Now, as expected, environmental groups aren't very happy, especially with the Gulf oil spill still unsolved. And people are also nervous about whether Enbridge will actually follow through with compensation and rehabilitating the environment. What's expected to happen on that front, especially with BP's at times indifference still raw in people's minds?
Well, we still have great expectations from BP with regard to this bill. Number one, getting it under control is still the big issue. And then they've got to, you know, work to clean up the mess afterwards. I think this is going to be a long story, and it's anybody's guess how they're going to deal with that. But I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to come up with the cash, and as well as to do whatever is possible to put the situation back together again. I mean, in one sense, it's going to have long-term effects that nobody can control. But I think that's going to be with us for a long time, and it really still has to be seen whether BP is going to live up to its responsibility. With regard to the other, everybody's looking at oil spills now. Still, there's a question of whether this spill in Michigan is of historic proportion. I think the jury is still out on that.
Right, and sir, this Michigan spill has brought with it health issues as well, that of benzene exposure causing various effects. Evacuated residents are supposedly going to be reimbursed by the company, but will that be enough? I mean, how much longer will the United States allow for its citizens' health to be played around with like this by big corporations?
Well, I think there's going to be a tightening up all along the line with regard to the oil production. Obviously, nobody's going to shut it down. We still need it, but it's going to come under greater scrutiny. And these issues of the accidents that have happened, I think the companies, where their feet will be put to the fire to rectify the damage that has been done. But in the Michigan case, I mean, everybody's a little overly nervous now because of what happened in the Gulf, and I think we still remains to be seen how big this is going to be. Obviously, these always have serious health effects. There have been a number of evacuations on a smaller scale up there in Michigan, but we still have to see how significant this is going to be. And the company, the Canadian company that was in charge of it, are also, they say they have acted quickly and are willing to live up to their responsibility with regard to its consequences. So we'll have to see. But I think there's going to be a tougher attitude coming from the U.S. with regard to these corporations.
Speaking of a tougher attitude, Michigan's governor said Enbridge's response has been wholly inadequate. Shouldn't the real question, though, be why was this company allowed by the state to continue work with a track record in which it has spilled a total of 21 million liters of hydrocarbons between 1998 and 2008?
Well, that's really a good question. That the legislation, of course, has been always vectored towards the oil producers to give them the best possible opportunities for bringing in the oil. And I think that too little attention has been paid to the long-term consequences and to the fact that many of these companies, under especially tightened economic situations, are going to try and cut corners. But I think, like I said, the government, both at the state level and at the national level, are going to raise the bar with regard to what these companies have to do if they're going to continue producing in these states.
All right, that was Mr. Bill Jones with the Executive Intelligence Review joining us on the line from Washington. Mr. Jones, as always, thank you very much for your insight.
Well, moving on now, flash floods have killed more than 200 people in northwestern Pakistan. The floods have been triggered by torrential rains in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province. Thousands more have also been left homeless. A state of emergency has been declared in the province. The army has been summoned for rescue operations as 30,000 people have been displaced in the provincial capital, Peshawar, alone. The monsoon has been lashing the country over the past 2 days. Officials have told Press TV that a death toll is expected to rise as more rain is predicted over the next 24 hours.
Hundreds of people are feared dead and thousands more are stranded due to floods caused by monsoon rains in northwest Pakistan. According to Pakistan's Meteorological Department, Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province received between 250 mm and 300 mm of rain in a period of 36 hours.
This flood is unprecedented. We have lost more than 100 lives. The weathermen have predicted more heavy rains in coming few days, and we fear more loss of lives and property of the people. This flood is unprecedented. We have lost more than 100 lives. The weathermen have predicted more heavy rains in the coming few days, and we fear more losses of lives and properties of the people.
Rivers burst their banks and streets were washed away in the province. Most of the dead across the northwest were killed after houses collapsed on them or drowned in overflowing streams. The floods have also washed away thousands of acres of crops and dozens of government buildings, local businesses and schools. They have also cut off some of the hard-hit areas, blocking residents from moving to safety. According to official figures, some 400,000 people have been affected by the heavy rainfall in various parts of the province, while there are reports of more flooding in the coming 2 days. To save lives and properties of the people, the provincial government of Khyber Pakhtunkhwa called Pak Army to take part in rescue activities, but as the affected areas were too many to be dealt with at one time, people in some areas complained that they were suffering much because of unavailability of relief or rescue work on the part of the government.
The flood has hit our entire village. Not a single house is safe. Our houses and fields are inundated. It has created havoc to our lives and property. While our financial losses are terrible, we are not getting any help from the government.
Our women and children are trapped in the houses, and we are left with nothing. Even potable water is not available. Our children have developed water-related diseases. We are still waiting for medical help. The government is just making false promises.
The government of Khyber Pakhtunkhwa has appealed to the international community to help those affected by the floods. The United Nations said it had reports that 5,000 homes were underwater in that area. Zahid Hussain, Press TV, Peshawar.
Elsewhere, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has rejected the Arab League's support of direct Israeli-Palestinian peace talks. A senior member from Hamas says the movement rejects what he calls any cover for the resumption of direct discussions with the Zionist occupation. Ismail Radwan underlined that the recent support from Arab countries would only give Israel cover to confiscate more Palestinian lands and to demolish houses in Jerusalem al-Quds. He has called on Arab leaders to immediately withdraw their support for the direct for the resumption of direct or indirect talks between the Palestinian Authority and Tel Aviv. The resistance movement's remarks come after Arab officials gave the Palestinian Authority a green light to hold direct peace talks with Israel. The meeting attended by Arab ministers was held in Egypt.
In the U.S., the state of Arizona has appealed a ruling that blocks much of its controversial new immigration law. The state's governor says she had asked an appeals court to expedite proceedings since Congress and the president have, quote, failed to act. This after a federal court blocked parts of Arizona's controversial immigration law only hours before it came into effect. Meanwhile, dozens of people have been arrested during protests against the controversial legislation. The bill requires police to question a person's immigration status on suspicion that their stay in the country is illegal.
Now, the Russian capital is covered in heavy smoke caused by peat and forest fires. Meanwhile, authorities are advising people to stay indoors as the temperature is nearing 40 degrees Celsius, the hottest in more than 100 years. Our correspondent in Moscow, Svetlana Korkina, reports.
For days, heavy smoke has been spreading across the Russian capital. It comes from the nearby regions where peat bog and forest fires are raging, caused by abnormally high temperatures.
We have registered 77 fires on the area of 75 hectares. In order to extinguish them, 1,500 people and 500 equipment units are involved.
The level of air pollution in Moscow is 10 times higher than the norm. You can feel the burning odor on the streets. Whole districts are covered in thick smog, which stays even after the fire is put out. Doctors have warned of health dangers, advising the very young and elderly to stay indoors. Day, 40 degrees centigrade. Will it get any better depends on the weather. So far there are no signs of the heat easing down. Ecologists say it means Moscovites may have to breathe smog for another couple of months. Svetlana Korkina, Press TV, Moscow.
You're watching World News here on Press TV. Time for a quick check of the headlines this hour. In the U.S., the governor of Michigan warns of a tragedy of historic proportions if leaked oil reaches Lake Michigan. More than 200 are killed and hundreds injured in Pakistan's worst flooding in 100 years. Hamas rejects Arab League conditions for resumption of direct Palestinian-Israeli talks. And smog chokes Moscow as temperatures near 40 degrees Celsius, the hottest in more than 100 years.
Still ahead here on Press TV's World News, we'll tell you about how Iran has completely overhauled an Airbus 300-600 despite sanctions. Founder of WikiLeaks has told Press TV that Western forces should negotiate a settlement as a prelude to withdrawing from Afghanistan.
Julian Assange, whose website this week revealed the human costs of the war, also says he will not set foot in the U.S. because of fear of arrest. Press TV's Roshan Mohammed Saleh has all the details from London.
Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, has been at the center of world attention this week after his website revealed almost 92,000 classified U.S. intelligence documents about the Afghanistan war. The documents allegedly reveal, among other things, that Western occupation forces have killed more civilians than previously thought. They are also said to reveal that the Taliban insurgency is stronger than Western forces would like us to believe. Press TV interviewed Assange in London and asked him what he felt the real significance of the documents are.
The thing that stands out is the squalor of war. So it's the everyday events occurring that add up to kill the most people. It is not these few big media events you've heard about, the Kunduz bombing or the Guarani massacre. Rather, it is a child killed there, a girl killed in somewhere else, a village hit by a bomb, some troops hit by friendly fire, that is occurring continuously.
The US government has called the leaks a criminal act and says they may endanger coalition forces in Afghanistan. The British, meanwhile, have downplayed the significance of the leaks, although they say further such revelations must not come out.
Do you fear for your personal safety now? Are you going to set foot in America? Do you fear arrest? Do you think that WikiLeaks as an organization may get shut down at some point?
Well, I've been advised by my lawyers and by senior U.S. national security reporters to not enter into the United States in relation to a previous matter, a previous leak we did. I assume that will work itself through the political system and in some months' time will disappear. How this particular leak falls out still remains to be seen.
Assange says his intention is only to reveal the abuse of power, and he laments the fact that the Western media has failed to hold their leaders to account.
Well, clearly, WikiLeaks, although it is a small operation, we only have 5 full-time staff, although we do have 800 volunteers, has been able to draw attention and expose significant crimes in the world. And why hasn't the mainstream press done that first? So there is something missing, and that's a niche that we are filling. Why are we filling it? Because other organizations are not.
Why aren't they doing that?
Oh, it seems to be that they're too close to the existing power structures of their country or their, the cashed up classes of society.
The WikiLeaks founder lives a nomadic existence and believes that he's being monitored by Western intelligence agencies. Nevertheless, he promises more revelations about the abuse of power on his website in the future. Roshan Mohammed Saleh, Press TV, London.
Enormous boat that is extremely hard.
Iran has completely overhauled an Airbus 300-600 despite sanctions. The aircraft will be ready to fly as early as next week. Arash Khalatbari has more.
Human life and human rights stands above political differences. Sanctions the U.S. has imposed on Iran for about 3 decades mean that the firms in that country cannot sell and export aircraft engines and spare parts directly or indirectly, new or second-hand, to Islamic Republic of Iran. Firms, including airlines in Europe, which provide maintenance for Iranian air carriers, cannot provide such maintenance if it involves the installation or replacement of parts manufactured in the U.S. Many in Iran consider the sanctions as a blessing in disguise, as they have helped unleash local potentials and promoted creativity and self-reliance. Iranian engineers have come up with ingenious ways to ensure safety of air travelers.
In our company, what we have been able to do from, let's say, 10 to 15 years ago is that we have been able to do the light check and the heavy checks on the aircraft. Today we have one of our wide-body aircraft, Airbuses, Airbus 300-600, which has been under D-check or maintenance last 2 months, and today this aircraft will be released for the test flights and will be on the flight as of next week, inshallah. And I should tell you that the sanction is not fair, in my opinion, because we are carrying passengers, we are civil aircraft, we are doing the commercial, we are commercial airline. We are carrying Iranian, European, American, all passengers all over the world.
International Civil Aviation Organization issued a report on May 9, 2005, stating that in fact the United States sanctions had endangered the safety of civil aviation in Iran, and it's contrary to the provisions, aims, and objectives of the Chicago Convention. Among other recommendations, International Civil Aviation Organization recommended the United States should recommit to the Chicago Convention. But the U.S. has refused to budge, and the Iranians have refused to stop finding solutions. Despite the sanctions, the planes go through rigorous checks to make sure they're airworthy.
The engineering department issues the guidelines, which we then execute. Our check and balance system ensures that safety is the overriding concern here. And at a higher level, there is the Iranian Civil Aviation Organization, which makes sure that the practices are in conformity with the standards of air navigation.
Despite sanctions against commercial airlines, the United States, in its latest unilateral sanction on July 1, 2010, stated that the sanctions do not target the Iranian people and their only means to put pressure on the Iranian government. But experts believe otherwise.
Complete overhaul of this Airbus demonstrates the ingenuity and perseverance of Iranian engineers in light of sanctions. Arash Khalatbari, Press TV, Tehran.
Well, with that, we come to an end of world news here on Press TV. Don't forget to log on to our website, presstv.ir, for more details on these stories and a lot more. For those of you on the move, you can always watch us live or listen to audio streaming right there on presstv.ir.
Santos beats Vitória despite missing a penalty in the first leg of the Brazilian Cup final. Shiran Sharani will have all the details coming up next in Sports International.